Before we start tonight's meeting, we're going to take a couple of moments of silence as we had some losses in the Plainview Bethpage community. One of the parents of two of our children in the district passed away, Robert Zulinjani. So we want to have a moment of silence for him first. Thank you. And then Emily?
Want you to have a moment of silence in memory of Ms. Diane Michaud, who was a teacher in the school district for a number of years in the English department. I actually was talking about this with friends of mine, and they were talking about what an encouraging, fun teacher she was. And one student who was not a traditional student said, she really helped me in my interest of film and photography. My best memory from her class was that she helped me make a short film using a Black Sabbath song. So, and this was 35 years later, he still remember that. So it's a good legacy, and condolences to her family in a moment of silence. We're talking about Nepal. Nepal.
Then also, we'd like to take a moment of silence for the tragedy in Nepal. Thank you. High school report.
Good evening, everyone. 2 weeks ago, was college fair, and approximately 100 college representatives came, and about 700 community members attended. So it was a pretty large event with many students exploring their future options. There was also a National Art Honor Society induction last Tuesday, and a pre-prom meeting also last Tuesday describing safe decisions and to inform seniors and juniors to be responsible. There was also a high school sad blood drive last Wednesday, and about 100 pints of blood was donated. There was also a high school musical from Thursday, Friday, and Saturday last week. It was called Legally Blonde, and it was a great success, and Mr. Murray was in it. There's also an ongoing high school DECA competition, which ends this Wednesday, and about 80 students are at Orlando, Florida right now. There's also a high school orchestra concert at 7:30 p.m. this Thursday in the LGI, and also at the high school, and AP exams are also coming up, and many review classes are going on every day. Yeah, I have five I'm taking right now. Yeah. All right, thank you. Thank you. Very good night.
In addition, the waste was weighed on the day before and after to see the difference we make when we put our environment first. POBMS hosted the Career Cafe this month. The event was a huge success with students from POBMS and Matlin participating. This opportunity allows for 7th grade students to meet and interview with people from different careers. Professionals from the medical, human services, information technology, hospitality and tourism, architecture, marketing, and health science fields were there to help educate our students about their range of career options. This month, we have been preparing for our MAP Walk for a Cause. MAP groups have been deciding on their causes and brainstorming ideas for fundraising. Over the next few weeks, MAP groups will design their posters that will be displayed during the walk. Fingers crossed for a beautiful day. Our school-wide talent show will be taking place on Friday, May 29th. Students have chosen to donate all money raised to the Make-A-Wish Foundation and Relay for Life. Stay tuned for more information on this entertaining and charitable night. Last week, POBMS held our first mentor-mentee day for our interested eighth graders that are headed up to the high school. The high school guidance department coordinated with Mrs. Prochosorek to match up over 60 eighth graders with mentors to help prepare our students for high school. The students will meet two more times this spring. This was such an informative and fun experience for our eighth graders. Middle school students return from spring break ready to work. The ELA and math assessments took place over a two-week period. Our students were able to demonstrate the knowledge and skills they acquired over the school year. Seventh grade Family and Consumer Sciences students participated in our semi-annual career fair at POB Middle School on April 17th. Students had the opportunity to speak with professionals from 16 career clusters, such as healthcare, human services, hospitality, science, web design, graphic design, music, and more. They also participated in an assembly program that highlighted Town of Oyster Bay Councilwoman Rebecca Elisa and Broadway producer Jonathan Pollard. Mr. Rappaport's high school technology students interviewed middle school students and speakers during the event. An exciting and informative experience was held by all. Our students are on the road to their career success. The Matlin Middle School Drama Cadets are doing last-minute preparations for their show, Shrek the Musical. Performances will be this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Congratulations to Mr. Bonica and the entire cast and crew. Our eighth graders are getting ready for their end-of-the-year trip on May 8th. The students will be heading to New York City for a tour of Madame Tussauds Wax Museum, followed by lunch. Matlin Student Council is busy preparing for our school-wide carnival on May 29th to benefit the Plainview Old Bethpage Relay for Life. Over 300 students participated last year, raising almost $3,000 to help finish the fight against cancer. This year is sure to be a blast.
Another awesome job. It's just it's so great, these middle school kids coming up here. Just great job. All right. Board announcements?
Yeah.
I'm actually going to start because, and I know a lot of us saw it, but the play was just incredible. Legally Blonde. If you don't go see our theater group at the high school, the drama cats, their plays, you're really missing out on something. This is like an off-Broadway production. It's just spectacular. And the only thing I can say is I can't wait till they get to perform it in a completely revamped and redone at the POB Middle School. Oh, awesome. But it was just spectacular. I can't rave enough. Just spectacular.
The set design.
Of the students is just unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. And I have to really congratulate Mr. Olivari for bringing the talent in our students out. He provides such an amazing experience to them year after year. And I also wanted to thank, there are many people who volunteer their time year after year, costumes and
just...
Exactly. Somebody who was here for many years, was very active in PTA, her kids graduated, she moved out of the community, she still comes and does all of the costumes for, I believe, all three of our shows, definitely Matlin and the high school. And there are other people who also volunteer their time, and they're really to be commended. So thank you, everybody, and just thank you, everybody.
Well, I did want to recognize that the high school principal was in the production of Legally Blonde, Jim Murray, and I did want to tell him tonight that he should really keep his day job. But he was terrific. I give him a lot of credit for getting on stage. Yes, it was. He danced and everything. Mm-hmm. He was wonderful. But I would like to say that every year the board is invited by Judy Jacobs, who is not only a legislator, but the Director of Community Relations at North Shore LIJ. And it is always a very, very interesting meeting with North Shore LIJ representatives. First of all, we do a lot of internship programs with them and a lot of other things in our district. So we had a presentation by Michael Fenner, who is a a parent in our district. Michael is the executive director of Plainview and Syosset Hospitals, and he was telling us, he gave us an update about everything going on at the hospitals, and it was truly fascinating. And then there was a presentation by Dr. Wallerstein, and it was a having conversations, how important it is to have conversations with your family about health and treatment. And they handed out some really excellent, excellent materials on how you go about healthcare proxy and other things. So I would like to thank them for continuing to be so community-minded and school district-minded about healthcare.
Okay. There was a science fair today at POB Middle School. Actually, there were two science fairs kind of occurring simultaneously. One was the Broadcom Masters, which is the kind of the middle school version of Intel. If you actually Google Broadcom Masters, you end up seeing pictures of, you know, eighth graders with President Obama. So that was 97 kids, and then there were 300, and there were 408 kids total, so there were another 311 or something in the Andromeda division, which was grades 9 to 12, 28 or 29 schools. Plainview had a dozen kids active in it, so thank you to Mr. Tesser, who's president of NYSEF, for organizing it. They won't know the results for a couple of days, but some of the research that they described was really pretty riveting. Some of our high school students looked at how skin responded to certain invasive substances that could cause cancer. And good news for older people, by the way, apparently older skin is less elastic and so is less subject to invasion. So that's one of the benefits of aging, apparently. And then, you're welcome. And then another team had a project involving bathroom design. One student's brother has cerebral palsy, and he and his partner came up with a design that allowed people who can't otherwise clean themselves to do so. It's also effective for anyone, but it gives new agency to those who previously maybe couldn't have that control. And they've been in touch with Kohler and I think HGTV about their idea. So that's a fantastic project with real-world applications. And then there were projects on the issue of self-efficacy, which is sort of a hot topic, and what kinds of praise are effective. And we're, you know, we tend to talk about self-esteem and that kind of issue. And one student looked at it from a cultural perspective, what kind of praise is going to be more helpful to Asian students versus those from a European background. And another student looked at what happened when students get too much praise. And it turns out actually that affects your resilience and self-control. So that those were things with terrific practical implications. And then another of our students looked at what happens when you take away kids' cell phones as punishment. And apparently, it turns out they can't concentrate that well because of something called FOMO, which is fear of missing out. So anyway, it was just terrific to see what they were coming up with. Our kids were so articulate and poised. So congratulations to all.
Yeah, this is one of our graduates. I was flipping through the TV the other day, and on channel ABC, they were doing a special. And Heather Simons, a graduate of our school, she is chief of pediatric oncology at Johns Hopkins. She was talking about she has now become the director of bone marrow transplant, but they are working on 50% matches now instead of 100% matches, and the rate of success they're having, but just not only for leukemia, they're finding it for rare diseases. So and her dad is obviously Lenny Simons, who's our hurricane and weather specialist, but Heather is a graduate of ours, and I just smiled when I watched her. And but if anybody should ever have any questions about it, she would be the go-to person.
You already congratulated the cast of Legally Blonde. I just want to give a shout out to the crew because, you know, we talk about the talent of the people who are singing and dancing and who everybody sees, but the crew who, you know, nobody sees work very, very hard. And I have to say, when a show goes on without a hitch, that, you know, it's because the people in the background are doing a great job, and they work just as hard as everyone else, so I just want to give a nod to them.
thank you for recognizing the crew, because for this particular show, it was a harder job, the crew, because of the way that sets had to be moved. Mm-hmm. And I just want to recognize those kids. So I want you to imagine that you are, you've been invited to speak at an event at Tillis, and you're sitting in the room, and you look up on the walls, and there's artwork in the room, and you recognize the style of the artwork. And I say, gee, this looks like Plainview artwork. And then I looked at some of the names, and I went, gee, this looks like some of the kids that I know. And it turns out that we are having a show at Tillis Center in the Patrons Lounge. The official opening is Tuesday, but the faculty had gone ahead and hung the show. I was presenting in that with my colleagues in that room, and I got to show off the work of the art department to my colleagues. So it was a very proud moment for me. The artwork in Plainview is, you can just recognize it in some of the work, because that particular project where they did fruits, that one resonates with me. So Angela Lee, for example, who was up. Mm-hmm. Her work is going to be at the Metropolitan. That's the kind of excellence that we achieve here. So I'm very proud of the work that the art department, the art teachers do. They hung the work expertly, and I think the community can attend and take a look at it. It's in the Patrons Lounge at the Tillis Center. So that's in art, and you've heard the excellence about the drama. Don't forget that the middle school students will also be showing their excellent work at Matlin this weekend as they do, what's their show, the one with the horns?
Shrek.
So that's this week. Rhymes with. Okay. Then over the weekend, we got notified that the math students in the district participated in the math fair, and we had some excellent results there. And we had the science fair. So just all in all, we had a week of excellence in all areas. And I'm just so proud of just whenever you say Plainview Old Beth Page, to me, it just is synonymous with excellence in all areas, from the fields to math, science, whatever you name. The DECA kids are probably going to do extremely well. They're now competing in Florida. That's really, you know, when we present the budget, and I am very proud to say that that's what the budget is about, making sure that the experience that we give to the class of 2027, which who are kindergartners, is the same as the experience for the class of 2015. It's a proud moment for me as a superintendent.
Can I just say
something? Yes.
No. Today, as everybody's referenced the fair, many districts are asked to host certain different fairs and events and things, and a lot of people, you know, don't want to be bothered right. by the extra time and set up. And the custodial crew at POB Middle School yeah. had the play this weekend and had to set up that fair on Saturday. So I really want to do a shout out to them,
Absolutely.
But also just that we are a welcoming district to all these other opportunities. You know, already today, they said, you know, can you host next year? John made accommodations for all the PE classes. The weather was supportive of the event today. But also, even just when we had the elementary math fair over a couple weeks ago, we already got a call, can you host again next year? And I know we hosted just a few years ago, and we're being asked again, but so many districts turned them down. Today, we had, because we hosted the fair, we had the opportunity of walking our middle school kids through that.
That's right.
And that would not be an opportunity had the fair been outside the district to see that caliber of projects. In addition, we put a few middle school kids to participate in the fair this year because it was local. And there's some things that we could learn from that in terms of children submitting their science projects from sixth grade, and, you know, so there's lots of good things that happen, and I just want to thank the board and obviously our principals and their team to be able to accommodate such large events of that magnitude.
And it is a generosity of the board that allows that. I mean, because it does come at a cost. But I have to say, Andy, your team continues to just, again, another area of excellence. We do have Custodian Day, Buildings and Grounds Day, coming, which is a Thursday, which is the first snow day that we gave back in honor of those custodians who came out during the snow to make sure that we were safe at home getting ready for school. So that will be that Thursday before Memorial Day is B&G Day. Also, the next board meeting will be in the Matlin LGI, because that meeting we will have a short, it will begin at 7 p.m. The high school will give us a shortened version of the play at 7 p.m., and then that will be followed by student recognition. So we have a large audience usually in May, because it's student recognition. We have a lot of parents, and so this is not going to be an accommodating area for them. So we will be at the Matlin LGI, 7 p.m., for the next board meeting.
Now we're up to the presentations.
So we have so much going on in the district. You said yes to the bond, a $49 million bond. It means that you expect construction to occur. And so we're going to do a short bond update and then answer some questions about our facilities and their use over the summer.
All right. All the plans were submitted to SED February 2nd, and we're proud to say that most projects in Phase 1 have been reviewed, approved, and permits issued, and we expect any day now for the final amounts to be approved. We're going to go through it. Can you hear me? We're going to go through it by school shortly. Then, as soon as the permits are issued, the bids and award process begins, which would be the May, the June period, construction to start in summer 2015, and expected completion of Phase 1 fall 2015. Now we're going to just go through it by school. You can see the status of the permits and the expected work and completion date. At the high school, the construction of the two tennis courts, we're pending the permits, pending surveys, which should be any day now. Work will begin summer 2015. Reconstruction of four tennis courts, same pending survey, summer 2015 work. Floor tile abatement and replacement, it has been approved, and work will definitely be completed summer 2015. PUB Middle School, the field backstop is pending survey 2015, pending survey, and the work will be done summer 2015. Floor tile abatement and replacement has been approved. Work summer 2015. Matlin Middle School, it's all been approved. Work should begin summer 2015 on the tennis courts, full roof recoat summer 2015, and due to the summer, which at the end we're going to go through by building how this is impacting every building, we'll do a little summary. But floor tile abatement and replacement will be done in A House in summer 2015. B, C, and D House in summer 2016. Old Beth, all approved. Full roof recoat, summer 2015. Floor tile abatement and replacement, summer 2015 as well. Parkway, the floor tile abatement and replacement has been approved. Work will be done summer 2015. Window replacements, currently in review. Expected completion is fall 2015. Exterior door replacements, again, currently in review, fall 2015 work. Pasadena, it's all currently in review by SED. Window replacements will be done fall 2015. Full roof recoat for library and cafeteria summer 2015. Floor tile abatement summer 2015. Exterior door fall 2015. And replace the RPZ retaining walls summer 2015. Stratford Road. Pending the Little League pending survey, the work will be completed summer 2015, and due to the fact that we are having Camp Apollo there during the summer, some of the work will be put off till later. The full roof recoat has been approved. Work will be done after camp closes at the end of August. Floor tile abatement and replacement again approved. Move to summer 2016 to accommodate for the camp. Okay, now just as a summary so you can see by school how everything's being impacted. Old Beth Page will be closed for construction completely. Parkway Elementary is closed for construction. Pasadena closed for construction. High school closed for construction. The high school summer school and Camp Apollo team travel normally occurs there in the summer. It's being moved to Matlin. POB Middle School will be partially closed for construction. The pool area will be the only part to remain open so that Camp Apollo children will have access to the pool. Matlin Middle School construction limited to A House and tennis courts. Again, construction is pushed off for B, C, and D House until the breaks and or summer 2016, because we're accommodating, we're moving the high school summer camp from the high school to Matlin. We're moving Camp Apollo teen travel to C House from the high school, and special ed remains in D House. Stratford Road Elementary School construction is being completely moved to summer 2016 with the exception of the Little League field. Again, we want to accommodate our students at Camp Apollo. Total 2.8 million, construction begins summer 2015, ends fall 2016. We want to thank everybody in the community for your patience. We know there's a lot of relocation. It will take a lot of work on everybody's part and some adjustments, but we promise you it's going to be amazing. We promise you you'll be pleased with the results. Any questions?
I'll ask the easy question first. So when do you expect the high school to be open to students? Because there are some things like athletics, and there's a summer choral clinic that takes place in August.
Well, the contractor that we're hiring for the abatement has, we're going to schedule him to work the abatement portion of the project in the first portion of the summer. So we're anticipating 2.5 to 3 weeks of actual abatement, and then it'll be safe to resume going in the school. We'll just have to safe off the areas where the floor installers will be. So we're going to have to make accommodations, and we might probably have weekly changes in what hallways people can go in and where they can't go.
Okay. Here's a hard question. If we do decide to roll the kindergarten classes into the elementary schools, there's some work that needs to be done in the elementary school. So I was wondering if it's worthwhile to start some of that, do work this summer when, you know, we could next put it off till next summer if that is the case, and do it all at once and not affect those schools this year. And if you've looked at that at all.
We've looked at it, but in many of the schools where we're going to push the kindergartens, we have to modify some rooms that have walls up, so we would be impacting the next full year of school if we did that. And that takes a lot of effort that I think we're going to be diverting to other projects that we have going. In addition to these bond projects, we now have the track project at POB Middle School starting on next Monday. As well as the skylight project here at Matlin.
I was going to ask that.
Congratulations.
Do you think the track will be ready for relay?
Say something about
no.
Probably not.
Is that the high school?
They've got permission from the town of Oyster Bay to use the high school.
So tell us about the skylights at Matlin.
The skylights in Matlin, the bid was open today in this very room, and which is vetting the contractor, and at the next board meeting, We'll have an approved resolution for you.
And that would be the summer?
It'll be the summer in strategic areas so we don't interfere with what's going on in the summer school and B-Wing here. And we'll make arrangements to get it done, even if we have to do it on the weekends or in the evenings.
It might be helpful to, when we receive a presentation on the bond update, to include like the capital reserve projects and
the capital, transfer to capital projects all at once, so you can see it, like, as a whole.
Maybe three columns, but yeah.
Yeah, but see it,
there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on, you know, I'm sure you guys are keeping track of it, but, you know, just to see it, because it's...
Really, there's nothing that's started yet, but that's...
Right.
That's a great point.
Yeah, I would just like to suggest that as we're doing work at each school, we make one of those very big under-construction signs with, like, a hard hat, and let people know where their tax dollars are going, what renovation, you know, what we're doing at each building, so that when they drive by, they know that this is the bond, this is the capital reserve, things are coming into play, this is what they voted for, and I think it just excites people also.
Yeah, I plan to do that. I have a large copy of some construction jobs I've seen, so we're going to mimic it with no hard hat. I mean, hard hats on the job, no smoking, and then we'll put a section for what the project is funded
by. And even on our signage, you know, the electronic signage, we could have what's going on within the buildings also, just to keep people apprised.
Okay.
That's a good point, especially this summer since we're closed.
Yeah, yeah. And on the website.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I was just wondering because
Okay. I was just wondering why there was the change in schedule, because as of, I think, 2 weeks ago, the high school was not going to be closed. Right. So I was wondering what kind of changed the order of things.
Well, we've been having extensive meetings with the construction managers, and we've been trying to figure out the best logistical way to perform all these projects simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And in consultation with the superintendent and Miss Maddie and school construction, we put together a plan that we think is most beneficial, so we're impacting the least amount of areas, and we can get as much work done as possible.
Okay. And this seems you're fairly firm about the schedule at this point?
We're very firm right now.
Oh,
This is going to go.
Yeah, I just had a question. Is this on?
No. Now it is.
I just had a question. The schools that are going to be closed over the summer, will that affect their playgrounds? Because our community members use the playgrounds in the summer of our, you know, for our school districts. What? Absolutely.
It might.
So.
If we're doing abatement works within the building, there's a certain amount of feet we have to have clearance. Mm-hmm. So there'll be fencing up in those areas if need be. And if we have any large truck areas or staging areas, they'll be designated. So we'll make sure the areas are safe when the contractors go home for the evening.
Terrific. And if we could communicate that information, although I'm not quite sure how, to the community so that they would know.
We have the contacts for all the groups that have permits in my office. So
great.
We could contact them. As far as the general public, we might have to put up signage again.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That's where that construction
might be.
Good job, guys, and just to everyone in the public, we just want to thank you for your patience while we do this. It's like when you remodel your house and you got to remodel your kitchen. You know, it's difficult, but you got to get through it, and we'll try to do our best to inconvenience the townspeople as little as possible, but obviously there's going to be some things that have to move around as we do this construction over the next few years, and we appreciate everyone's patience, and when we look back at it, we're going to see a really beautiful, revitalized school district, so we're really excited about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So at the beginning
of the month, the governor worked with the legislators to come up with a bill that tied state aid to APPR. And so while the regulations are not clear because they're not done and they won't be done until June 30th, I thought it would be important for the board to see what this new bill has to offer and for the community to understand what this bill is all about. So I'll try to do my best.
All right.
All right.
We see it.
You do have the handout. So I can, nope. Okay. So I'll do it from my head.
Sometimes you have to go out and come back in.
I know. I can't wait. That's okay.
So their handout, if you have it, you'll have to follow along to our week so that we won't delay.
Okay, so this is by statutes. It's known as 3012D as opposed to 3012C. And the mandate requires us to have a new APPR, that is the performance appraisal, where we attach a score to a teacher, effective July 1, 2015. We are required to have an approved APPR plan by November 15th, 2015. And I have to say, last Thursday was a little bit disconcerting because we got a memo from State Ed, Ken Wagner, and in fact is acting as the commissioner. He's the deputy commissioner in charge of all these things. And he sent us a memo that said that we had to have the plan created by September 1, 2015, in order for State Ed to approve it by November 15. So in essence, they have given us, they will give us, and you'll see, they'll give us 60 days to write a plan and give themselves 75 days to approve the plan. But that's what it is. So we are in, and if we don't do this, what will happen if we don't have a plan in place? Well, we're not eligible to receive school aid increase, which is a little bit over $1 million. So, and you know our contract, our teacher's contract, ends June 30th, so we are required to negotiate a new contract, and we will be required to, for all collective bargaining agreements entered into after the law came into effect, must be consistent with this new law. So what's different? Well, what's different is we had what's called a 60-20-20, which is 60% observation, 20% growth assigned by the state or an equivalent feature, and 20% locally defined score. Those were the old rules. Now we have two categories. And those two categories are student performance and observations. Now, the observation is similar to what we had before, except we're not clear whether the state will, you know, we had adopted the Marshall rubric. We're not clear whether that will continue. That was our way of evaluating the observations and the evaluation piece of our document, which was in the past 60%. We're not sure what the percentage is, but when we get more definition from the state, we'll know what that percentage is. Now, what's interesting is that the growth score is based on the 3-8 assessment, and that all other teachers, which is about 70% of our teachers, will have to have a locally developed growth score based on student learning objectives adopted by the district but approved by the state. That's a little bit more rigid than they had before. We had to submit what we were doing, but one gets the feeling that the state will have more of a say-so on what the SLOs will be. But we're waiting for further guidance. So the observation category, not component category, is based on the state-approved rubric. We had Marshall, but I'm not sure where we are in the future. Observations must be conducted by a trained principal and trained administrator, which all of our principals were, you identified them and we presented to you that we had the proper training. Not sure whether the guidance will issue further guidance on on training, but right now all of our administrators are considered trained. And in addition, they've added this new piece of observations conducted by an impartial independent trained evaluator, which could be an administrator in the district, but not in the same building. So, for example, we could have principals going to other buildings to do the training, to do the evaluation, or at real independent, impartial evaluators. One of the things the state organization that I belong to is advocating that that only go into effect if we have an ineffective, and that it doesn't apply to all teachers. In addition, we have a peer observation, but that's negotiated. That could also be a part of the observation. For the student performance category, again, it's based on the state growth scores, and the state issues a score. Now, what's interesting is that we had the opt-out movement that impacted many of our districts. We had about 48% of our students that opted out, parents and students, opted out of the math and ELA. Now, that sounds like it would then make our scores null and void. The state, however, when they established the format for providing state growth scores, issued the guidance that says if a teacher has 16 scores, that is enough information for them to issue a state growth score. So it turns out that when we analyze our data, we have maybe three teachers in the district who normally would have had a state growth score who would not have because of our opt-out. But basically, if you had 8 students take the math and ELA, if you were elementary, third and fourth grade, you will have a state growth score. It won't be, and I will go on the record saying that it's not a valid score, but the state won't say it's not a valid score. They believe that their statistical analysis is robust enough to have 16 scores be reflective of the teacher's or the student's growth. So that's basically all you need. 8 students in left. So for example, a middle school teacher who has 4 sections of any subject, it will have a state growth score, regardless of the fact that they may even have 60% opt out. They would still get a growth score. That score will then be used as the student performance category. For teachers in non-tested areas, as I said, you know, it's only grade 3 and 8. We will have to create an SLO consistent with a goal setting process that will be determined by the commissioner. There's much more heavy-handedness in this bill with regard to the commissioner's purview. So optional second component, we could negotiate that, but I have a feeling that that may not be the direction that we will be moving in, because the district may opt to have a second growth measure, either state-provided or based on a state-designed supplemental assessment. So it would be, for example, that we would buy an assessment that the state has approved, and that would be the optional second component. So, this is what it will look like. We will have a teacher observation. So on the teacher observation, we will assign either highly effective, effective, developing, ineffective. That will be based on our rubric. Well, I'm assuming it's the Marshall rubric, but that's really something that we would negotiate. Student performance, if it's a state score assigned, the state's very clear, they will assign highly effective, effective, developing, and ineffective. For where the two meet, that will determine whether or not the teacher is ineffective, developing, effective, or highly effective. So, for example, if a teacher is highly effective for teacher observation and highly effective for student performance, they're in the green area, they're highly effective. If they are developing on the teacher observation, developing on the teacher observation and developing on the student performance, they're in the pink area. So all pink areas are developing. It could be that they're highly effective in the, they will be ineffective on the student performance and highly effective on the teacher observation. They will be in the pink area. So you can take a look at where the pink areas are. And it will be, you can cross-tab it, and that will determine where you are. One of the things that the governor had issues with is that there were too many people who were, nobody felt in the ineffective, very few, felt in the ineffective range. So having a rubric similar to this will land more people in ineffective category. However, we're not quite clear on whether the two student performance and teacher observations will be weighted equally. My organization that I belong to is advocating that the one good thing about the APPR was that we developed a common language in districts about observations, a common lens of observation. We saw the impact on students on the instruction in the classroom, and we believe that that rubric and teacher observation, the training that our principals had, and the ability to have cross conversations in the district about teaching and learning was good, and that we believe that that area should be weighted more so than a score that we will get from the state that we truly believe is not valid. We'll see. I use this because it's important for you to understand that only those teachers who are math and ELA, if you look at that little brown area, if you think of the whole area, those are all teachers that we teach, that teach. Only teachers in that brown area are being held to the standard of the state growth score. You really have created an uneven playing field that teachers of math and ELA in grades, actually grade four, because you really don't get a growth score in three, grades 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And in our district, most of our math 8 are algebra. That's why, you know, so it's very, very few teachers that are being held to this standard with the state growth score. And that's why I believe that the state is going to be much more heavy-handed with the SLOs, because the SLOs are the balancing piece to the state-provided growth score. I think they're going to be much more stringent in the way we assign growth scores. Ineffective category rating: if a teacher or principal receives an ineffective rating, that is if they're in the red zone, on either the student performance or the teacher observation component, I should have said category, sorry, he or she is ineligible to receive an effective or highly effective rating. So the most you could have is developing. That would be the pink zone. If an APPR plan includes a locally selected second performance, that's that optional, an ineffective rating on the student performance component must result in an ineffective overall rate APPR plan. There's no incentive for having a second component. So why would you spend the money and do that? That's what I'm saying, but again, we have to be at the negotiation table to determine that. So basically, if you have an ineffective student performance rating, it will be impossible to be effective or highly effective. Now, this is where lawyers got in the room, or pardon me, attorneys present, and totally left, or let's just say legislators got in the room, informed by some poorly practicing attorneys. They have now said that the plans can no longer include evaluations based upon factors such as, well, I understand parent and student surveys, but teacher lesson plans are not to be used as part of the APPR plan. Student portfolios, district developed assessment, unless SED approves it, and any growth or achievement targets that does not meet the minimum standards set by the commissioner. So you can see a much heavier hand on being dealt with by the commissioner. Lots of concerns. Almost every state rubric that you look at, including our Marshall rubric, the Danielson, and any rubric that's worth its salt, has to include a professional component. Does a teacher work well with families? Do they communicate with families? There's a whole professional practice that we include in the evaluation. We want teachers to be rounded. This is prohibited. The error of the bill diminishes the use of the rubric. We cannot use that portion of the rubric that speaks to the professional component. Lesson plans that are essential tool for developing instruction. I'd say it's pivotal to what we do. Bill requires evaluators to ignore such evidence. The tenure laws are also amended, and teachers and administrators appointed to probationary appointments after July 1, 2015 will have a longer probationary period. Currently, it's 3 years for most, for a new teacher, and 2 years for someone who was tenured prior. The probationary period will be 4 years for new teachers. People who were previously tenured, it would vary, including substitutes who have been substitute teachers for 2 or more years, would be 3 years. Or it could be less, could be 2 years. We'll get more guidance later. So that's the variation. It will go from 4 years to 3 years. Now, the interesting thing is, and I think I may have covered it in a slide, which is next. This is where I say the attorney should never be in the room. Let the practitioners be in the room. Nobody realized that when they said appointment date, effective date may not be the same thing. So for example, we appointed Greg Sesney last board meeting, and I'm only picking on Greg because he's a good one to pick on. He was appointed to the kindergarten center as principal effective date July 1, 2015, and we appointed him on a 3-year tenure. We're not clear if we have to rescind and reappoint. We will know in June 30th because his appointment date was last board meeting, but his effective date is July 1. And they didn't realize that there were two different things. So we have some guidance from our council as to what we should be doing, and we have to notify everyone who has been appointed that it could be likely that we would have to change their probationary date. We will have to do the negotiations for the plan November 15th. If we're getting guidance June 30th, our school district closes down before June 30th, and during the summer, most teachers are on vacation. I'm not sure whether they'll be available for negotiating an APPR plan. So, we may have a hardship that we have to bring to the commissioner for September 1. Next. Okay. So here's a piece, though. If you don't have a plan in place, then teachers are coming back without any kind of certainty as to how they'll be evaluated. So at the beginning of the year. And so when you talk about baseline SLOs, SLOs, we won't have them in place. We won't, because we won't know. So we're not sure where that will take us. We're not sure about the guidelines. We're not sure about the timeline. We're not sure about the process. So if we're not clear, it's because it's muddy. And at the same time, our focus needs to be on engaged learning in our classrooms. And that's what we're going to focus on.
When is it about education? I mean,
this has nothing to do with education.
It's so supercilious that when you're reading this stuff, no wonder we don't have a commissioner. Nobody wants that job. But it's just that when you look, everybody's being penalized for everything, and you're not talking about the creativity. You're not talking about what our kids are supposed to be learning and the excitement of teaching children. Everything is looking over your shoulder, and it looks to me just like the governor just wants everybody to close down public education, go to charter schools.
Well, now you got it.
That he'd be happy.
Hi, George, she's got it.
I
expect I know the answer to this question, but what happens if, say, you're in a self-contained classroom, and how on earth, you know, are they going to be determining whether the kids are meeting the goals? Those are individualized to the kids. How is that supposed to happen?
Well, that is a problem, and that is an off, well, assuming that the tests are sound tests, one of the pieces of having students opt out of the assessment is for those students who we have to identify for AIS or for, you know, because you have to have some assessment of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure how that will fold into the CSEs, but when you don't have scores, that does have an impact. We will have to have alternative assessments. I'm not sure how we're going to do that because, you know, when we envisioned the APPR, opt-out was not a part of what we were doing. So the state is saying, for example, if you don't have enough scores for those three or four teachers without scores, we should have had a backup SLO, sort of like Roto-Rooter, like a backup SLO. That's all I could think of. It's like, you know.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this growth or achievement target that does not meet minimum standards set by the commissioner.
Correct.
When you're in a self-contained class, you're going to have like seven kids. So somebody's supposed to go up to the state education department to determine if, you know.
Well, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. June 30th. Now, I just might add that right now there's no staff at SED. I mean, the person in charge of this is having a baby due July. The deputy commissioner who's in charge of this just got appointed to superintendent in NISCA. So basically, I don't know who's going to be doing this. But it's almost comical, except that it's affecting people's lives.
Amy, he does no wrong.
I do.
Sit down.
I remember, yeah.
This is always evolving, though, because I read something that Merrill Tisch came out and said that she wants to postpone it to till September 2016.
Correct.
For districts who show hardship.
She,
but then today the assembly voted to support her, but to take out the hardship part.
Right. Here's the thing. They don't get to vote on that. They get to change the law. That's what they need to do. If they want the November date not to be the date, they need to change the law. Because the bottom line is, we're going to have to show hardship. I mean, and you have 700 school districts. Nobody can have this in place September 1. What's the guideline for hardship? And knowing her, I suspect that she's going to link some opt-out movements with it.
And does anybody, if you've ever read Bleak House, there's something called the Circumlocution Office, and that's exactly what state ed sounds like. You just sort of send things and it never comes back out.
Well, I have a meeting with them this Friday. I plan, you know, there's a group. I'm on the task force for the superintendents. We'll try to make sense of some of this. But honestly, they don't listen. Clearly, they don't listen.
Yeah. I'm going to say it. It's a travesty. Shame on our elected officials. Shame on you, Chuck Levine. Shame on you, Carl Marcellino. Shame on you, Ken Pannon. Shame on you, Governor Cuomo. Shame on you, Merrill Tisch. You have no regard for the children of this state, whether they be poor, wealthy, or anything. It is insane what these people are doing, and I beg everyone vote for anyone but the people who voted for this legislation next time around.
Yeah. The other thing I just really want to say, it's just not the children. It's people want to be in the field of education. When you turn
Absolutely.
Around and say,
Absolutely.
I went to school, I studied this, it was a passion of mine, and all of a sudden you have to look at the children who are now in your class. Are they going to be children that are going to show growth or not show growth? Who wants this group of kids because it's only going to hurt me? If I have all the fours, where are they going? They're not going to become fives. But more than that, it is how education is changing, and it's really like a sour apple that you're sitting there and you grimace so much of the time. And as Dr. Lewis said, you're going through these things and you have people who are in the field. No one talks to the people who are in the classrooms. No one talks to the administrators or boards of education or central administrators and said, what is wrong? What can we do? And I've said it over and over again, give the money to the school districts that are failing. Leave us alone. We're doing fine without you.
And really and truly, you know, it's enough. It's really just the destruction of public education.
It's a war.
Yeah, it is a war.
Costly war.
Newsday likes it. Just a couple of things, though, before we move on. There will be a coding event that will occur on April 29th. Stratford Road is also having the birthday wishes on that day. We also have a May 26th event, that community forum, for the kindergarten plan to be revealed that night. The High School Honor Society will be providing babysitting until 9 p.m. So those parents who want to come out will have babysitting from 7:30 to 9 p.m.
And that brings us to public participation. District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall 1. State their name and address, and 2. Indicate on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights of due process or others could be in some way violated. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes.
All right. So Annabello, 23 Peter Lane, Lakeview. I just wanted to say, you know, I've sat here listening to us talk about the system of education, talk about how messed up things are right now, and I just implore you and you know, everyone here that's listening, I'm sure we all have the best interests of our children in mind. I personally come here to, you know, speak on behalf of my own children and their teachers. The autonomy of educators is so diminished in not just here, but in education in general. And I'm looking at you know, what the plans are for the summer and how unfair and unattainable that they will be to come up with some sort of fair system for evaluation for our educators.
Yeah.
What I want for my children is for them to come home, to be able to say that they had a great day, tell me 3 things that they loved learning, instead of coming home in the misery and drudgery of Common Core homework, et cetera. And you know, and I have little kids. They, you know, my biggest fear is that they'll sit in class with their eyes to the ceiling saying, only 11 more years of this. It's sad. And there are teachers, I know plenty of teachers that, you know, I think you hit it right on the head, Ginger. I mean, these educators come here impassioned, hired or been here 10 years, and it is all that we can do to give them the support from the board and from the district and, of course, from the community as well. I implore you that if there's alternative measures we can take, whether it be looking at alternatives, whether it be portfolios, whether it be anything that we can do as an alternative to the mandate of the state, which we all know is nonsense, we can sit here and shake our heads and say no, but the reality is that our actions will speak louder than our grumbling and buzzwords. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Uh-oh.
3 minutes.
They all know they can't stop me once I get going, so it doesn't really matter. I want to reference what Gary said and add a few thoughts of my own. The members of the legislature are quite chagrined at the blowback that they've gotten from the action they have taken. Mm-hmm. There's a good deal of scurrying around talking about what they might be able to do. The message has to go out loud and clear from you and members of the public that you damn well better fix this thing
right.
that you
exactly.
did a few weeks ago, because we're not forgetting. Also, you need to send a message in the only language these bozos understand, and that's to threaten their continued employment in Albany. And I've made it very clear that we would like to talk to people in the community of both parties who might be interested in opposing the sitting assemblymen or the sitting senators, might be interested in challenging one of them in a primary, because that's the way you ultimately speak to these people in a language that they understand. And those people need to have the crap scared out of them for what they have done. I want to finish with an observation that comes from my experience this morning. I was summoned to the Parkway School to talk to the staff about this very issue that Dr. Lewis talks to you about tonight. I can't begin to find the words to communicate to you the abject depression that those people are in, and the anxiety and fear they have for their future employment. Mm-hmm. And you and I have to find a way to send a message to them that we're all on the same page and that if we work together, we're going to overcome this lunacy that has come to plague us. There are ways around this stuff if people are willing to run some risks. The best weapon we've had going for us is the opt-out movement. This year, there were in excess of 200,000, when all is said and done, who opted out. If next year it has to be 400,000, 600,000, whatever it takes to shut this system down, because you and I know unequivocally that unless we break the nexus of those tests and to teacher evaluation, this problem is not going away. And what these fools have done is made it 100% test. The governor got twice as much that he asked for, and people like Chuck Levine are going around talking about how they made a great compromise that was in the interest of teachers and boards of education and children. There has to be a price those folks pay for this, and we look forward to working with you in that regard. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Jack Wolfner, 151 Sutton Drive, Plainview. I listened to what's going on with our legislators and the edicts from Albany, and it puts me in mind of the fact that it seems like when someone gets elected to an office, they have to throw logic out, and they are convinced that they're the only ones who know everything about everything. And we have to do something about that, because I don't see how a person with legal training, which most of our legislators are, who's up in Albany, can tell us how to educate our kids. Doesn't make sense. And seeing this evaluation, I don't think I want to change careers now and become an educator.
That's a tragedy.
It is.
Yeah.
That is a tragedy.
Well, one is a tragedy.
On the agenda, I'd like to ask the board to discuss in detail items 8.1, the contract with BOCES, and 8.2, the contract on elevator service. And thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you.
Do I have a motion for routine business? Ginger, Emily, discussions? Do we review the stuff now? Then we vote, right? All those in favor? All right, you guys want to review Jacques' points of questions?
Okay, 8.1 is a BOCES contract for ACES tablets. There'll be computer carts going into the middle schools and the high schools, and this is the contract for the purchase of those computer carts, including the charging stations and the deployment and integration of those tablets. Two at the high school, two at each of the middle schools.
8.2 is to join the co-op bid for Excelsia Elevator Corporation.
I just wanted to comment that 8.5 was a donation from SNAP for the TAG program, and to comment and to thank them once again for all they do for the children in the district.
Mm-hmm. All right. New business, level 3 changes for 3 clubs at JFK. Do I have a motion? Evie, Seth. Discussion? All those in favor? Additional staff development proposal. Ginger, Evie, discussion? All those in favor? POB Middle School trip to Grand Central Terminal. Wow. Evie.
I like that one.
Ginger. Discussions?
I was wondering if we, I was just curious if we could get a little information about what the trip is going to be for, if you have background on it.
Sure, I'll be able to provide that.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Sounds cool.
All those in favor? All right, revision to establish capital reserve fund. We had to change some wording because it didn't fit on the ballot.
Too wordy.
Too long. Can you imagine that? All right, do I have a motion? Seth?
Barbara Masseroli.
Emily? Discussions? All those in favor?
Yeah, excessive verbiage.
The damn lawyers.
And then we also have to revise the revision for use of existing capital reserve fund for the same reason. Debbie? Heavy? Discussions? All those in favor? All right, motion to go into executive session for matters of negotiations. Debbie? Heavy? All those in favor? All right. 0-0 with 4 minutes to go.
9:00.
I apologize if I appeared a little distracted.
Morna.
There was, but I kind of wanted to know what they were getting.
What?
Yeah, I just wanted a little more background. I mean, it's a beautiful building.
Oh, I did. You know I'm going to win.
I wanted a little bit more.
No, it's quite.
I didn't vote.